It's August 6th, 2004. This is Andy Mushin with Charlotte Merman in her home in Stevens Point, and we'll be talking about her life and her husband's family's life in Stevens Point and in Wausau. So first of all, Charlotte, you arrived in Stevens Point in 1947,
yep.
You said.
Yes, September 21st, 1947.
Uh-huh, and you were raised in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And what was, what's your maiden name?
My maiden name is Charlotte Cohen.
Okay. And how did you meet your husband?
Oh, he came to Milwaukee with his aunt and uncle to a graduation party, which was at my cousin's house. And so I met him at the graduation party in January, and we were married in September.
Mm-hmm. When it became clear, oh, by the way, what was his name?
His name's Harvey Merman.
Harvey Merman. When it became clear that you were going to marry him, did people tell you, did anybody tell you you were crazy to go to Stevens Point?
Well, they wondered how I would do in a small town, but I wasn't concerned about it.
No, you were confident everything would be fine.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So when you came here, your husband's family was in the furniture business.
Correct.
And that the store was called?
And the store was called Merman's Furniture,
mm-hmm.
And it was three floors of furniture, and it was on the main street, and everybody knew everybody in town, so it was fun to wait on them because they would visit when they'd come into the store besides coming in to buy their furniture.
Mm-hmm. So you worked at the store too?
Yes, I helped out at the store when I wanted to.
When you wanted to. So you sold the furniture?
Yes, we sold all types of furniture those years.
Mm-hmm. And what was the address of the store?
The original address was 312, and then they 312 Main Street, mm-hmm. And then they renumbered it, and it became 1008 Main Street.
Mm-hmm. But it was the same building, you're saying?
It was the same building, only they renumbered the town.
When did the store open?
The store probably opened in about 1932.
Mm-hmm. And tell how that happened. How did Merman's open a store?
My father-in-law was in partnership with his brother Jake Merman in Wausau, which is 30 miles north of us.
And what was your father-in-law's name?
Father-in-law's name was Albert Merman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was married to Rose Erline from Milwaukee. And so anyhow, they decided to open up a store in Stevens Point, so my father-in-law left and opened his store in Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it began.
Did the stores operate as one business entity?
No, the stores operated, they were independently owned.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that your father-in-law was the one who came to Point, do you know?
That I really don't know.
Okay. When did the first Mermans come to Wausau? Do you know anything about that?
I have no idea when they first came to Wausau, when they immigrated to Wausau from Latvia,
mm-hmm.
Riga, Latvia, somewhere in there.
So those would have been your husband's grandparents who immigrated?
No, my husband's parents came.
I got it. And so you don't know his parents, and then obviously his dad's brother, and
mm-hmm.
You don't know why they chose Wausau or how they got there?
Well, one of the brother-in-laws had a broom shop up in Wausau, Sam Deutsch, and he was married to a Merman girl.
Oh.
And so that's, I believe, how they came to mm-hmm. Wausau. And there was also a sister in Sheboygan.
Oh.
And her name was Kaplan.
I see. And so she was married in Sheboygan and yeah.
Yep.
Kaplan. What was her first name? Do you recall?
I don't recall. But then two of her daughters came to Stevens Point. One owned a grocery store, Rudnick's grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and one owned a hardware store, William Zinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Zinoff closed the hardware store and opened a furniture store.
Hmm. So back when the Merman store was operating, there were other Jewish merchants downtown.
Definitely. There was Modern Tagri, which was a men's store. There was
Modern what? I'm sorry?
Tagri.
Tagri. Who, can you tell me who owned it?
Let's see who owned it. Sloman. His first name was Jack Sloman.
Mm-hmm. And that was on Main Street, or?
Yes. And then also downtown was A.L. Shaft, was the Shafton Building,
mm-hmm.
which was also a clothing store.
And who were the Shaftons? What were their names?
There was A.L. Shafton.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe there was I. Shafton, who I think was Isaac Shafton.
Mm-hmm.
And A.L. Shafton had a produce company, wholesale produce.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the end of Main Street was Northwest Liquor. And that was owned by Pete Sloman.
Is that S-L-O-M-A-N?
M-A-N-N.
Uh-huh.
And then there was the Fair store, which was owned by Olansics.
Mm-hmm.
And there, in another part of town, there's two junk dealers. One was Siegel's, C-I-G-E-L, and the other one was owned by Garber.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else did Jews do? So they were merchants, they were junk dealers.
Dealers, yeah, basically. And then, about 20 years ago, we got some Jewish professors.
At the university.
At the university. Uh-huh. And there's one or two left that are teaching now.
Mm-hmm. So what was the largest Jewish population you recall here?
Okay, now Wisconsin Rapids used to come over here for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and for services. I would say, there had to be at least 100 people with the children and husbands and wives.
For holiday services.
Mm-hmm. And then on Friday night services, some of the stores were open, and so those that could make it would, go to the service so that there'd be a minion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, there'd be about 25 people or so on Friday nights.
Every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have Saturday morning services?
Not that I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now the synagogue, or what was the synagogue, mm-hmm. which is now a museum, is
the
pretty neat.
The Torahs are still there.
I was in there.
They won't. Did Tim Siebert bring...
Tim was there, and two others were there, yes.
Oh, okay. Because Tim teaches with my son.
Oh,
and Marcy.
See. Yeah, Tim, he's a very dedicated historian.
He started it,
mm-hmm.
and he's in charge of it.
And he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
The synagogue is very near the main street. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people could. They could have walked over,
yeah.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the synagogue, or the congregation, is about 100 years old, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it was started, I assume. Do you know anything about the early Jews who were in Point, 100 years
ago? There was
ago?
Another family here, the Smiths.
The Smiths.
That mm-hmm. was my mother-in-law's sister, and they had a wholesale candy business.
What was that called?
I think it was just called... the candy store, the candy man or something.
And where was that?
That he had out on towards the south side. It was a wholesale. It wasn't open to the public. He was a distributor.
Okay. So the synagogue, which is, as I was saying, is about 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the earlier Jews who were here, and do they have any descendants who are left?
No, there's nobody left from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can think of. In fact, I think the cornerstone says 1904.
Yeah, I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 100 years this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is also the 350th anniversary of Jewish settlement in North America.
Oh, really?
So it's a big year.
Okay.
So 1904. So even when you moved here in 47, mm-hmm. There weren't any Jews? There weren't any remnants of the original Jews here?
There was a Mr. Siegel. He was, I think, one of the first settlers.
Is that with a C, Siegel?
C-I-G-E-L. And then my mother-in-law kept kosher, and we did too for many years, and we'd have our meat shipped in from Milwaukee on the Greyhound bus in ice packs with dry ice. Or after we were married, we'd go in and bring the meat back from the butcher on 50th and Center Street, which I think is now on Burleigh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, what was your mother-in-law's name?
Rose Roman.
Right. So you kept kosher.
Yep.
How big a challenge was that? I mean, how often did your meat come in, and did you really
have
to plan?
Well, we were three families, so mm-hmm. those years, it was quite often that we were calling Milwaukee for meat. And then every year before holidays, right after the holiday services, my mother-in-law would have, who's practically the whole congregation, over for snacks and things after services.
Mm-hmm. In this house.
Mm-hmm.
And the congregation fit? Well, it's a big house,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It wasn't a big...
Some came, some didn't.
Uh-huh.
But they would come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And we make gefilte fish from scratch.
Ooh.
And noodles from scratch. Mm-hmm. And kreplach from scratch for soups and
So you cooked with your mother-in-law? I mean, did you do
for
it together?
For holidays, I'd come and help her. Mm-hmm. We'd make... And then my sister-in-law would help, too.
Mm-hmm. And your, okay, let me make sure I have it. Your sister-in-law
was Ruth Levinson.
And she was married to Art Levinson.
Art Levinson.
Right, because I've read about him. Oh. Okay. And they also kept kosher. You were
yeah.
the three families, you
mm-hmm.
think, that kept kosher.
Yeah. There were, the Siegels, I think, kept kosher, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then, gradually, we didn't.
I know. Well, you know, I grew up, as I was telling you, in Manitowoc, and kind of small-town kosher is,
mm-hmm.
it's a kosher home,
mm-hmm.
but then, you know, if you're going to ever eat out, you have to make some compromises.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
my grandparents ate only fish out, but,
yeah.
you know, my...
Well, we never had pork in the house or
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was your...
But you would eat
still...
out, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
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 What did you consider, what branch of Judaism did you consider the congregation?
I would say it was conservative.
Mm-hmm. And were the Jews really conservative Jews, or was it conservative to be kind of a compromise so everybody would find something to be happy about?
I think it was a compromise
uh-huh.
so that everybody would... And then we had different rabbis.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, so
mm-hmm.
who are the rabbis you remember? Can you go in order?
In order, I can't. There was a Rabbi Schwab.
And about when was Rabbi Schwab here?
Oh, I would say... I think maybe in the 60s. Rabbi Lehrer was here in the 50s.
And that's Isaac Lehrer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for the work.
Yep.
That door...
We're back on. Rabbi Lehrer is the first rabbi you remember here?
Yeah, he's the first rabbi I remember here.
Were there rabbis in the old days?
Oh, yeah. They had rabbis.
Full time?
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, there doesn't seem to be any record of these people. I mean,
I know. The only thing is, Tim Siebert, I don't know if you saw, there was a picture of a Seder supper.
Yes, I did see that.
And he sent that to see if I could identify any of the people, and I identified some of them, you know, that I knew. But other than that, there weren't any records. I was sisterhood president, and they didn't really keep any records after the synagogue was closed, unless they're in the synagogue.
Well, Tim said he's been through the place and hasn't found
mm-hmm.
anything.
No, uh-uh. those years, they just didn't think of it, I guess.
No.
I mean, we had a sisterhood that was very active, and then the men, the sisterhood would have meetings once a month, and we had bridge clubs, and the men would play poker down in the basement, mm-hmm. if you were down in the basement.
I didn't.
Oh, okay, there's a rec room down there. The men would have their poker games. The women would play poker, too.
Would they?
Yep.
Any good poker players?
Yeah. And then we'd have our bridge clubs, which would meet at the homes. Everybody took turns.
Was that monthly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there were maybe like 5 tables of bridge, so that was 20 women.
Wow. And was that most of the sisterhood, the 20 women?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were most from the sisterhood.
So I assume the women also helped keep the synagogue running.
Oh, yes.
Providing food.
Right. The sisterhood provided food. And at the evening parties down in the shul, you know, everybody would bring something to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And there were bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm. How did you deal with the issue of kashrut in the synagogue?
Oh, they really, if I remember, they really never cooked meat or anything like that.
So people could bring things in from their houses, yeah. as long as it was milchik.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it. So the women had sisterhood. We'll get back to the rabbis in mm-hmm. a minute. The women, were there any other organizations like Hadassah or...
there was Jewish Hadassah.
Mm-hmm. Was there an actual chapter in Stevens Point, or did the women belong to some other city?
If I remember, there was a chapter here.
Uh-huh. Were you part of that? Or?
I think that was before I came in, towards the... I can't remember now. I think I went to a couple meetings,
mm-hmm.
but basically I was involved with the sisterhood.
I see. Now I noticed at the synagogue there was a B'nai B'rith Lodge.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. So the men met at the synagogue?
Right. In fact, they used to get together with the different B'nai B'riths from like Manitowoc, mm-hmm. and all the different places. That's why your name sounded familiar,
uh-huh.
from B'nai B'rith.
Sure. Well, I still have relatives in Manitowoc, mm-hmm, and they certainly have been involved.
Mm-hmm.
So your husband was involved in B'nai B'rith?
Mm-hmm,
was he ever the president? Or?
No, my brother-in-law was president.
Uh-huh.
He was too busy with his sports.
Your husband was.
Yeah.
What did B'nai B'rith do, do you recall? Did they met? They had meetings?
Yeah, they had meetings, and then they played cards afterwards.
So it was a way for the Jewish guys to get together.
Yeah, it was a social affair.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards.
So how many of them were there? Were there about 20 men? Too?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then the congregation during the 50s, the 60s, had about 20 Stevens Point families?
Oh,
or were these guys also from Rapids?
No, these were from Stevens Point, uh-huh. basically.
And then how many families would come in from Wisconsin Rapids?
For the holidays, yeah. I think there were about 6 or 7 families.
Okay. Got it. Okay, let's go back to the rabbis, if we
could. Rabbi Schwab.
What was his first name?
That I don't remember.
He was in the 60s, you say?
Yeah. And there was a Rabbi Metzner. Let's see. He may have been here. I really don't... The one that I basically was involved with and remember was Rabbi Lehrer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then after that, we had one or two, and then gradually we couldn't keep a rabbi anymore.
So these were full-time rabbis? Or
At the time, yeah.
Okay.
And then for the holidays, when we didn't have a full-time rabbi, they would get someone from Chicago. They would send someone from Chicago or, you know, to fill in for the holidays.
Was that a positive experience usually, or not so positive? Were these rabbis
good? Yeah, we really never had any problems because they were here for the 4 days or whatever it was with traveling and then coming back for Yom Kippur, and that was it. So they really weren't involved that much.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was in the synagogue yesterday, I learned that at one time there were pews, and then later they were replaced by theater seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was there always mixed seating in the congregation,
yeah,
as long as
mm-hmm,
you remember?
Yeah.
Even back to the old days? Or
Well, when I came here in 47,
there
it was mixed, yeah.
Okay. What happened to those pews, by the way? Nobody knows.
I have no idea.
All right. And they kept a couple of chairs.
Mm-hmm. I've got a chair in the basement for the synagogue.
They said that
a wooden chair.
A wooden chair. Oh, I'd like to see that later. Mm-hmm. And these theater seats apparently had names, little plaques.
Yeah, because we bought them, you know, to help fund the synagogue. I mean, the changeover. So everybody bought a chair and they had their names put on it.
Did people sit in their own chairs or their
basically,
own
basically, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Yeah.
Where did you sit?
I think it was like the second row from the front.
So tell me, you remember Rabbi Lehrer here in the 1950s, mm-hmm. and what are the circumstances that he came to Stevens Point?
I believe he came from Israel to finish his degree, and he went to the university here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a head chief, the rabbi here, did everything.
Mm-hmm. For how many years?
I wouldn't say. Well, he was 50. This was his 50th anniversary in Milwaukee, and from here he went to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever year that was.
Okay, well, I got it. So, he's been in Milwaukee a long time.
Yeah.
So he was here for a number of years.
Quite a few years.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've kept up with him
mm-hmm.
and in contact.
Has he been back at all to Stevens
no.
Point?
No.
Well. He's busy.
He's busy.
Yeah, and he goes to Jerusalem a lot, too.
Yeah, well, he must have family there, yeah.
I think he does.
And his son is with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The son's been up here for two funerals.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So his father sends him, or how is it that Gilezer gets up here?
I believe they contacted Rabbi, and then Gilezer came up.
Mm-hmm. Is the nearest Jewish cemetery in Wausau, is
yeah.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after Rabbi Lehrer, then it was Rabbi Schwab, you think?
I think that was him, and then after that it was just fill-ins for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Here's a story. Tell me if this makes any sense at all. In 1980, I was working at Fort McCoy with the Cuban refugees near Toma,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they came. And they wanted to see, some of the refugees claimed they were Jewish, so they brought in a rabbi, and I just happened to be there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the rabbi said he was from Stevens Point, but it doesn't sound like it's possible from 1980.
In 1980, no.
No, okay. I got it wrong then.
Mm-mm.
Well, the Jewish population was, say, around 20 families then. Was everybody affiliated that you know of with the
Pretty
synagogue?
Much. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And was it hard to get a minyan? Did people come
no.
to services
Mm-mm.
pretty regularly?
Pretty regularly. They usually had a minyan.
Mm-hmm. And the Jews were friendly with one another, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
yeah.
You played cards every month.
Yeah.
And you knew, well, through B'nai B'rith, the men knew Jews from other
communities.
Other communities. And how mm-hmm. about the women? Was there any outlet for that, or...?
No, the women basically, you know, didn't have that extra outlet.
Mm-hmm. Did you miss that, or did you
no.
think about
Mm-mm.
it? No. Did you go to Milwaukee since, you know, for any Jewish reasons or more for family reasons?
Oh, we go to Milwaukee for family. My mother was born on the 4th of July, so we always had parties, you know, 4th of July. And my sister kept it up. We still go on 4th of July and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get together for family. Mm-hmm. And then in between time, here and there, we run in.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's in there, you know, ball games here or there or whatever.
Gotcha. The ball games. Let's see, so that's Milwaukee. I lost my train of thought. I wanted to ask about religious school. How did that mm-hmm. work here?
They had, when we had a permanent rabbi, they had cheder.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids would go after school.
And the rabbis would teach?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the rabbis' wives? Did they ever get
no,
involved?
No, uh-uh. Not in teaching or anything.
So when you had rabbis, the rabbis taught.
It was, yeah.
How mm-hmm. often, like, do you recall?
Let's see, when did Paul go? Maybe 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. And Paul is your son?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he was bar mitzvah here. Mm-hmm.
And Marcy is your daughter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did she...
There wasn't, by the time she was ready, in fact, I think Paul's bar mitzvah was conducted by one of the visiting rabbis.
Mm-hmm. How old is Paul?
Paul was just 55.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 40, that's 42 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 60s, and it was mm-hmm. a visiting rabbi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I said, because Lara left in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. And so your daughter didn't really have an opportunity for...
Not for Cater or anything, mm-hmm. but she's well-informed on the Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, when your son was attending Cater, how many mm-hmm. Kids were there, do you think, in the religious school?
There about were 20 his
families.
Age,
yeah.
Maybe there was David Garber, Paul, his brother. I would say maybe 6 or 8 kids.
Mm-hmm. And were the girls educated, too, of Paul's age, or...?
If there were any, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. They went.
Mm-hmm. I would think a bar mitzvah or any life cycle event would have been really special in a congregation your size.
It was. The bar mitzvahs were always a big thing.
What were they like? Can you describe them a little bit?
Well, the congregation, you know, they would all come and they did everything they would do in the city.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not one of the last kids that were bar mitzvah, they brought some rabbi in from somewhere and they had a bar mitzvah. But those, you know, there's not nobody left at that age for many, mm-hmm. many years.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did have bar mitzvahs, you know, it was the whole thing and then a reception and dinner at the hotel.
Uh-huh. So would there be kiddush in the basement after services, or how? Were these Friday night or Saturday bar mitzvahs?
They were Saturday bar mitzvahs, yeah.
And so then there'd be the ceremony, yeah, and then...
And then the reception and everything took place at the hotel.
Which hotel?
Downtown, basically the Whiting Hotel,
mm-hmm.
but now it's a residential. They converted into apartments and mm-hmm. things. But most everything was held there, because that was about the only place.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have the Holiday Inns and all those things, but
right.
those years we didn't have them.
And so how many people would attend the average bar mitzvah? I imagine congregation.
Yeah, everyone that was invited. I think we had about 50 or 75 people, and then he mm-hmm. invited some of his friends from school that attended the bar mitzvah, because they wanted to see what it was like, because Paul was telling them all about
mm-hmm.
it.
So what did his friends think? Were they interested?
They thought it was neat.
Uh-huh, that's neat. So Paul, your son, talked about Judaism to his friends, and I'm sure were in the house, and
mm-hmm,
they knew
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
so it was always comfortable,
being
Jewish?
Oh, yes, very comfortable. And I've been invited to the churches. I've gone to the church functions with my friends, you know, to different things that they have. And like I said, there was never any problem as far as race or religion or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You never remember any anti-Semitism?
No, okay. Not to my face or that I was heard of.
Mm-hmm. And your husband never talked about it?
No, there was never, and we were in the store and everything. And my father-in-law spoke, this is basically a Polish community, and my father-in-law spoke Polish coming from that area mm-hmm. of Europe. And a lot of the old-timers that came from Poland and settled in Stevens Point would come into the store and they'd speak Polish. They'd sit down and sit on a Davenport and talk Polish and have a conversation. It isn't like business today.
No. So that's interesting because, you know, there's the stereotype that
mm-hmm.
Poles are anti-Semitic,
yeah.
but they really had this link with your father-in-law,
right.
the language and the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How about, did any of the other Jews in town speak Polish?
That I don't know.
No.
Well, I think Mr. Rudnick, who had a grocery on the Market Square, if you've been on the market,
mm-hmm.
what he called, I think he spoke Polish.
Mm-hmm. Was there much Yiddish speaking that went on here? Probably not by 47.
No, nothing.
Okay. Who generally were the leaders of the congregation over the years? I know your brother-in-law
My brother-in-law was.
Uh-huh.
And what do you call it? And financially, Pete Sloman was.
Meaning the treasurer or the main money giver?
Well, he gave a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but no, basically in my time, it was my brother-in-law that did most of for the congregation.
He was sort of president for life?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. And did he lead services when the rabbis weren't here?
He helped out with services.
Who else led services when there were no rabbis? How did that work?
I think Pete Sloman was informed, and Herman Nemtsov.
Mm-hmm. So they could they read Torah, or would
yeah.
they could read Torah?
I think they could, yeah.
But you remember taking the Torah out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, the Hebrew, was it Ashkenazic Hebrew? You know, with
don't
the,
know.
Okay. You never learned?
No.
All right. When you were at services, was there a mixture of Hebrew and English then? Or?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So everybody could participate.
Yeah, could participate.
But women were never called up to the Bima?
The Bima? No.
No. Okay. They were too busy making the Kiddush lunch
yeah.
and all that. In Manitowoc, the custom always was after the Saturday morning service, we'd go downstairs where the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and the rec room were, and the men would actually drink a couple of shots of whiskey
mm-hmm.
and
no,
eat herring.
No, they didn't have that
Nothing
here.
Like that here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about for the kids? Was there the B'nai B'rith Youth Organization?
No, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, were you concerned about your kids meeting other Jewish kids or
no,
not having opportunities?
No, it never bothered me.
Uh-huh. They were comfortable with
yeah.
their friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your son, Paul, is 55, you
mm-hmm.
said, and then your daughter, Marcy,
is 52.
52.
Neither are married. They're
mm-hmm.
both teachers. They live here, if that's what you call it. They're in and out all the time.
Oh, all right. So they're busy. They have
yeah,
their busy lives.
Very busy.
And where do they teach?
At the high school here.
It's called Stevens Point.
Stevens Point Area High School.
Okay. And what do they teach?
Paul's a social study, history, and geography teacher, and in summer he teaches driver's education.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcy's a physical education and health teacher and a coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. You were telling me before we turned the tape on that Marcy was a pretty successful athlete.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What did she do?
Okay. In high school, she played basketball and softball.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to college and she played field hockey, tennis, basketball, and softball.
Are these on college teams?
College
teams. And this was
UW Stevens Point.
Uh-huh.
And then after she graduated, she coached a girls baseball. Not be softball,
mm-hmm.
and her team won the state tournament in 1986, and she was assistant coach for girls basketball, and they won a state title, I believe, in 1980, and then she gave up softball in the 90s, and she became the boys junior golf coach. And now she's coaching golf for boys.
Hmm.
And then during the summer, she works at Century Golf Course. She's a marshal and a starter. And she plays golf on the days that she's not working.
Wow, she sounds very active.
Yeah.
Now, sports was a big part of your
family
life.
Yeah, right.
Your husband, your late
right.
husband
In fact,
sports.
I think we got married so that we could go to, I think it was a football game and a baseball game. And we always attended the Brewer games. And
did you have Packers tickets?
No, But Paul does get some sometimes, and he has a collection all up there of baseball, football, different things. So, basic
sports then. Were you must have seen a lot of games,
yes.
too, then, in your lifetime.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. And we'd always plan our visits to see my mom and dad and family around the Brewers schedule or the Bucks schedule.
Mm-hmm. So it must have been in some ways a little hard living in Stevens Point. I mean, although the university had teams.
No, there was no problem because anytime we wanted to go into Milwaukee, we were free to go.
Oh, okay.
And that's the way I felt. If ever I wanted, when I came up here, there was no question in my mind because I knew whenever I wanted to go home, so all I had to do was say to Harvey, Harvey, you want to go home? Mm-hmm. And away we went. Because the business had other people in it and we could go.
Mm-hmm. Back to 1947, what was the reception like for you? The Jewish community?
They had all kinds of welcoming parties. They had, before we got married, I was up here for a week and practically every member of the congregation got together in groups of four or five, and I had all kinds of wedding showers. And then when we came back, we were all, you know, when we came back to town, we were welcomed and just part of the community.
So immediately you felt like you belonged, is
right.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
That they welcomed you. Were a lot of the people like you, I mean, marrying and coming in from
mm-hmm.
out of town?
Yeah, there were some young people my age and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then your friends over the years, were they members of the congregation
right.
and others? I
mm-hmm.
assume,
yeah, so. And members of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started a hospital auxiliary, I helped out. But basically, I did some volunteer work, but I didn't do a lot of community volunteer work because I was involved with the family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you know, when my daughter started to coach, then and when she played sports, we were involved with the parents of the players, and we went to different games together and went out to eat together and things like that.
Nice. Did you have seders here, Passover seders?
Yes. Yes,
husband led them?
My brother-in-law would lead
Oh, your brother-in-law,
Seder.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you'd have them in this house?
Right. We had
Seder. Oh, because
Seder's
it was your
my in-laws.
House.
What do you call it? We'd have Seders, and we have Rosh Hashanah dinner, and after Yom Kippur, mm-hmm. we'd come here for eating afterwards, and, you know, we celebrated all the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Did the other Jewish families have their own Seders in their homes?
Right. Mm-hmm. Those that, you know, were a little more religious did have Seders.
Mm-hmm. And I assume, well, let's see, you had Hanukkah menorahs, that kind of thing.
Right. We have an electric one.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
And we have one with the candles. And when the kids were growing up, I would go to their classroom for Hanukkah.
Uh-huh.
And explain Hanukkah and take the menorah with, and Paul would recite the prayer and inform the kids. And then the kids would always say, Paul, you're real lucky because you get presents for 8 days. And so, you know, the kids were all interested in the religion.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally I hear from people that there were problems in public schools with Christian celebrations, Christmas pageants, Christmas carols, mm-hmm. and choirs. Was that ever an issue here?
Okay. No. What do you call it? If there was a pageant or something like that, the kids attended. It was just part of life and learning.
Mm-hmm.
We never objected to it.
Mm-hmm. And they never, you know, played one of the wise men in a Christmas choir, were asked to.
No,
A couple other just littler questions. Did any of the women here ever play mahjong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were a mahjong player, too?
No, I wasn't a mahjong player, but they did play mahjong.
Mm-hmm.
They had their clubs.
That was separate from the bridge.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, sometimes they, down at the synagogue, when sisterhood would meet, if you didn't want to play bridge, you know, there was mahjong, too.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody still play mahjong around
here? No, I don't think so.
Do you still get a bridge game?
No,
okay.
Hardly.
Did the congregation own a home for the rabbi?
No.
Okay, so how did that work?
He rented
someplace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there a lot of rental properties? That was never an issue.
That was never an issue.
Okay. Did anyone ever build a sukkah in Stevens Point?
Yeah, we had a sukkah a couple of years that I can remember.
At the synagogue or at your home?
No, at the synagogue.
At the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And people would volunteer to get together,
mm-hmm.
and put it up. Okay. You know, at one time you were saying there were a number of Jewish merchants downtown.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to all of them? What happened to the downtown?
Well, gradually some of the older members died, and then basically that's what happened when the businesses closed up. The owners had passed away, and there was nobody, you know, to carry on.
And when was that? The 1960s, the 70s?
Yeah, it's in the, I would say in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. When did the Merman store close?
Our store closed mm-hmm. in 84.
In 84.
And yeah, my husband passed away in 83. Mm-hmm. And none of the kids wanted, my nieces and nephews, Paul, they didn't want the store. Mm-hmm. And so we closed it.
Are your children unique in that, as Jewish children, and that they stayed in Stevens
yeah.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other kids went off to college
right.
and never came home.
Yeah, they wanted to go. Well, Paul and Marcy went to college here, and Paul went to Indiana to get his master's degree, and then they basically wanted to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did.
That's nice. I'm sure as mm-hmm. their mother, you're happy to mm-hmm. have them around.
Whatever they want.
Okay. So the your store closed in 84. Was that the last Jewish-owned store on Main Street?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, now what happened to the congregation? I mean, now, you know, you can go to the synagogue, and on weekends, there are a few hours. Anybody mm-hmm. can go take a tour. I took a special tour mm-hmm. yesterday. And, you know, basically there's still a couple of Torahs in there. One mm-hmm. apparently was lent to somebody in Wausau who's having it fixed. You know, repair mm-hmm. properly. All the accoutrements of the synagogue are there.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the story?
Well, basically, they, you know, it's in the article.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want it knocked down or anything like that. So they gave, Tim wanted it for the Historical Society. And so they left everything in it that pertained to the synagogue.
So this was the 1980s that it happened, or I should look mm-hmm. at this article.
The article, whatever the date is on top.
1986, mm-hmm. Milwaukee Sentinel, era ends at Stevens Point Synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said there were 12 remaining members of the congregation, and it was just too small to keep the place
right.
going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they closed.
They closed and gave it to the Historical Society.
Mm-hmm. What did your brother-in-law do after that? I mean, where did anybody go for services?
He passed away shortly after that. And anybody that wanted to went to Wausau.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go. Because basically, at this point in my life, I know who I am and what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt that, you know, this is the way I wanted it now.
Mm-hmm. But, I know Wausau is sort of like a hub congregation.
Yeah.
People from
mm-hmm.
all over
from around
part of the
mm-hmm.
state go there. Okay. Are there other Jewish families in Stevens Point now?
There's a professor, Ed Miller, and his wife. There's Ashley and Judy Sloman. There's Ben Katz.
Okay, so Ed Miller's a professor at the UW,
and
what do the Slomans do? Are they?
He's retired from Northwest Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Ben Katz, who's retired from the Katz of a produce potato brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's his nephew, Mike Katz.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Oh, there's a lady, Diane Siegel.
Part of that junk
Siegel,
family,
yeah. They had the junk and a little grocery store on mm-hmm. Water Street. And that's about it.
But it sounds like it's been a good life here in Stevens
Point. Oh, definitely.
I mean, you... When you needed it, the congregation was there.
Mm-hmm.
They were friends to
yeah.
you. It sounds like people were supportive of one
right,
another.
Right, they were very supportive.
And Well, this is the story in many small communities, that there just aren't enough Jews to keep anything going.
That's what's happened.
Do any of the others go to Wausau or Milwaukee for our services?
Some of them, I think some might go to Wausau. Mm-hmm. If anyone, Miller might go to Wausau. The others, I doubt it. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, anything else? One other thing, now that I remember. When I was in the old synagogue yesterday, Tim Siebert was telling me that they really need to raise some money to fix the front of the building. Mm-hmm. And ideally, they just had the roof painted.
Yeah.
But they think there could be $40,000, $50,000 of work to be done to the building. Is there that kind of money in the Jewish community that might, or interest in keeping the building
going?
I'm
sure, we've given money, we've bought like a membership, and things like that. But as far as really, really big donations at this point, I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Do you go past the synagogue at all?
Oh, yeah. I walk that way a lot of times.
Oh, right. You live so nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have memories coming back, or by now it's...
Oh, yeah. Well, here and there, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate all this information. And I learned a lot, so thanks.
Good.